first scripture upon which our meditation is based this morning is a verse from this morning's lesson from Qoheleth chapter 7. Do not say, how is it that the former days were better than these? For it is not from wisdom that you ask concerning this. Memory, the good old days, the way we were. That lazy view of the past, which we call nostalgia, places a strong toll on all of us. At their graduation, the new alumni of a certain college, ID, sing of their bright college years, climaxing with a pledge to do all in the future for God, for country, and for Yale. While one more than suspects that that last pledge is intended to be met chiefly through contributions to the alumni fund, most of us here today presumably also share in some way that mental scrapbook of those four bright years that we spent, whether at one of the Concordia colleges or at a secular institution. Then, or surely at some point in our lives, we knew the good old days. Such a hankering for days gone by is, to be sure, nothing new. We read in the book of Ezra that when the foundations of the second temple were laid in Jerusalem by those who had just returned from exile in Babylon, many of the priests and Levites and heads of fathers' houses, old men who had seen the first house, wept with a loud voice when they saw the foundation of this house being laid. Presumably because it was such a far cry from the one that Solomon had built, at least as those old men remembered it 50 years before from their youth. A still more notable example is found time and time again in the accounts of the wilderness wanderings of the people of Israel. When the people longed for the bygone days of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pot and ate bread to the full. Both of these examples illustrate well one of the real weaknesses in this longing for days gone by, namely that all too often what we long for is a world that never was. The wilderness generation conveniently forgot that those flesh pots of Egypt were their rations as slaves. Ancient Israelite nostalgia, like our own, is all too often both childish and foolish in seeking to compare the fundamentally incomparable, our own lives at different times and in different situations. It should in no way surprise us that Qoheleth, that canny observer of the life on earth and how the earth works, should comment on the folly of this common, if not universal, human tendency to long for times gone by, implicitly commending on his part that idea which serves as sort of a theme of his book, that one must take and enjoy life as God gives it. However, thus far it might be observed, nothing has been said which has not been said at least as well by countless philosophers, songwriters, or other thinkers and writers, from Tom Wolfe's observation that you can't go home again to Carly Simon's song that these are the good old days. And in fact, one can do worse than to see in Holy Scripture some practical guidelines for how to live. But to stop there leads to a reading of biblical insight as mere moralism, and can limit theology to philosophy. Even Qoheleth, in many ways the most secular in perspective of all the biblical books, must in the final analysis be read by us in its canonical context, as Word of God, as the message of the one whom the Septuagint translators called Ecclesiastes, the preacher. Our entry into this theological dimension of the text is granted by the second line of the verse. For it is not from wisdom that you ask concerning this. Heard in its canonical context, this verse is saying far more than simply to compare the past with the present is a dumb idea. wisdom understood according to its biblical usage always has a divine dimension. It is that divinely designed series of principles by which the world is organized and by which the world's inhabitants get along with happiness and prosperity in their dealings with one another. Now, there is nothing wrong with recalling the past. Scripture often invites us and commands us to do so. But using a biblical conception of wisdom, to hunker after that path is not merely unwise in the sense of being not smart, it is sinful, in that one wishes for a world order other than the one God established at creation. The world order desired by an obsession with the past is in fact the pagan conception of reality, as an endless series of cycles, an eternal returning, rather than a line, or perhaps a spiral, but at least a series of events going from somewhere to somewhere as designed by the world's creator. More still may be said, however, given the biblical conception of wisdom. The book of Proverbs, at one point, makes bold to personify wisdom as the firstborn of all creation, and as an assistant to God, a means by which God put together his plan for creation. Proverbs 8 reads in part, "When he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I, wisdom, was beside him, like a master workman." It is no surprise that many of the church fathers saw in these words a none too cryptic reference to the one who is called in John's Gospel the Word by whom all things were made. The fathers saw clearly that ultimately God's plan of redemption was an integral part of his plan of creation. Or to put it in the terms of our text today, that from the outset, God determined that no painful memories of a paradise lost would prevent his carrying out his plan to create all things new in the future. In sum, when our text is viewed as scripture, it says to us much the same thing as was spoken to the Babylonian exiles in the book of Isaiah. "Remember not the former thing, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do not perceive it." God's people in exile were urged to realize that God's delivering days did not end in the event of the Exodus. Rather, they were to see those ancient acts as a foretaste, a proleptus, to use the snazzy theological term, of the way God planned also to rescue them. Similarly, we are addressed at the times when we most hunker for the past. Times of guilt and alienation. Times of pain and loneliness. And we are invited to see that the greatest of the Lord's past redemptive acts, yes, even Easter itself, is but a matter and pattern and promise of greater things yet to come. To us as to those same exiles come the words of promise spoken through the prophet Jeremiah, words which serve as our theme this past year at Concordia College in Seward. "For I know the plans which I have in mind concerning you, Oracle of Yahweh, plans for wholeness and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." It is by looking forward to life in such a promise that true joy and true wisdom are to be found. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.